Kia ora and welcome to the Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ, the show that is made by oral health professionals for oral health professionals. We bring you the kaupapa of the oral health profession in Aotearoa to investigate the tooth, the whole tooth and nothing but the truth. I'm Becky Amati and with me today is Anna Holyoake. And in today's episode, we will talk about what matters to Anna when it comes to oral health in Aotearoa, and we'll discuss the ins and outs of being the president of Te Oho Puniho Ora o Aotearoa and offer listeners an inside view of Anna's professional mahi.
Stand up for what you believe in when it comes to your career and your own, be the master of your own ship, I think.
The Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ is yet to be sponsored by any cutting-edge dental company or organisation. This could be the opportunity for you. Phone us on 021 0355 456. So Anna, welcome.
Hi Becky, thanks for having me on your podcast. This is very exciting and I am looking forward to chatting about oral health in New Zealand and shedding some light on who I am and what it's like to be the president of the New Zealand Oral Health Association.
Yes, I'm sure that there's many listeners out there that have seen you at conferences and thought, who is Anna? You know, you've got such a bright and beautiful personality when you're up on that podium, and you know, it'd be lovely to hear other things that go on for you other than having to be put in all those awkward spots up the front. You know, what goes on in your day-to-day job, Anna?
Well, yes, so I've been the president of, I was the president of the New Zealand Dental Hygienists Association. So I started the association journey in 2016. Mm-hmm. But if we rewind quite a few years post high school, how did I get into oral health? Firstly, when I finished high school in 2002, I had no idea what I wanted to do with myself. So I got a job as a dental assistant, which got me into oral health. It wasn't the best job. It was very hard, actually, and I wouldn't wish that job upon anybody. It wasn't the job itself. It was just actually the practice that I was in, and there was a lot of stresses there. But I actually read an article in the Dominion Post about a dental hygienist, and her life sounded amazing. And so I thought, well, I could do this. So that's how I got into dental hygiene. And so, headed to Otago to start studying. And I did the Diploma of Dental Hygiene and then returned back to New Plymouth and, began working as a dental hygienist 5 days a week. And I worked at the same practice for 10 years, became very loyal to my patients, and then had a child. And then moved to a different practice. And then we relocated to Auckland and had another child. And then we've relocated back to Auckland and now I'm in another practice. So I think if I reflect back on my time as a dental hygienist, my time in the oral health career, it's really developed and evolved quite a lot. And the things that I let happen to me at the start of my career, I would not stand for that now. And so I think, you can see how I've evolved as a practitioner, and I want to encourage other people to not be stuck in a corner and stand up for what you believe in when it comes to your career and your own, be the master of your own ship, I think. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a beautiful insight into your early career. Mm-hmm. And you raised some great points there as well about that maybe earlier in your career there were, you know, it's those things I wish I knew when I was a new grad. And I think things are changing for new graduates as, you know, we speak more about how the entitlements for your professional work and your rights, what you can and can't do. So it's good that we have a chat about this, and I'd love to be able to expand a little bit up what are some of those things that were difficult for you and how you overcame them in your workplace.
So when I first graduated and went out, I didn't actually have any idea you know, what to expect, to be honest. The real world is completely different to a learning institution. I've just thrown in the deep end with the scaler, basically, and told how to charge patients through. And I had half an hour appointments where the dentist would do a checkup and I do a scale, and it was full on 5 days a week. But then I actually was speaking to another hygienist, Leslie Turner Hall, who sort of mentored me a little bit and told me about all the things that she had at her workplace. And I was somewhat inspired and also in awe of how did she get all these amazing things. And so she gave me the encouragement to negotiate and learn and develop. And I think what people in our profession need to realise is that your employer needs you more than you need them. And so you only have to look at how many jobs are available in our sector. You don't need to put up with small appointments, being paid poorly, treated badly, having to pay all your own costs, when actually you can just go down the road and get another job that's a whole lot better. But we do get somewhat loyal to our patients, and I think that's sort of where I got a little bit caught as well, because you become friends with your patients, and you know they know everything about you basically because you have such a personal relationship. So sometimes moving on from an environment like that can be quite hard, but once you do, the grass is greener on the other side. So I think it's just knowing your worth and what is going to push your career forward. So I know it's taken me time to grow that confidence to actually say to an employer, actually no, this is not just a service that we're offering to your patients. We're treating gum disease, and you know, without me, your crown is going to fall out. So this is what I'm worth. And it's having that confidence to know, well, that's what you can need to ask for, basically.
Yeah, I feel that's another whole podcast, Anna, that we will launch into. Maybe we'll have a panel one night when it comes to workplace issues. But yeah, that's a beautiful insight into you know, your hygiene career, and that the value that you bring to a practice as well, the value that you bring to that oral health care, that teamwork. You're a necessary part of the team, and it seems sad that to think that if you're just providing a small part of the service, you know, that you're just do a clean. It's not that, you know, it's that relationship, the you know, the oral health advice and instruction, and there's just so much value to your career and what you have to offer. And my next section that we'd like to go into is about you as the president of NZOHA. So Anna the president, tell us a bit about that.
Anna the president. Well, as I said before, I began as vice president actually for the NZDHA, New Zealand Dental Hygienists Association, in 2016, and it all sort of kind of happened by accident, as these things do. I had been the chair of the Taranaki branch for many years, and we'd organised a conference here, and I was approached by the then president, Paula Palmer, to come on as vice. And maybe I was in the cloud of hormones, I'm not sure, because I was 8 weeks pregnant, but I said yes, thinking it would just be a little, I'll warm the seat for 2 years and I'll be out of there. But anyway, here we are. 6 years on, was president, and then together we decided with NZ DOTA that the future lied with being one rather than two. And as I've said in the past, it was many ups and many downs, and the downs were very big and very emotional at times, and at some points we even wondered why we were there and what we were doing, and is it all just too hard and should we just give up? But we managed to push past all of those hurdles, and we got to launch NZOHA a couple of weeks ago in Auckland. I think being the president has been more than I ever anticipated. And I don't think you can understand what it's like to be in the association on management until you're actually there. The workload is immense, but it has also given me a lot of life skills, and I have met some wonderful people and formed some relationships that I would never have got to do if I had not had begun this challenge and journey with the association.
You know, how do you juggle that work-life balance when you've got a few hats on that have got quite a lot of responsibility?
I don't watch TV. Don't ask me what's happening on Netflix, because I can't give you a recommendation. So basically I work 3 days a week in the clinic, and then I've got two little kids. So once they've gone to bed, I usually pull out the laptop, wade my way through a whole lot of emails, just work through association stuff. So it's definitely noticeable if you've been offline for a couple of days, how many emails will actually come in. I just want to remind people that we are just volunteers. I think some people forget that at times. A please and a thank you goes quite a long way. But yeah, it is a juggle, but I enjoy it. And, you know, even on my days off, I'm still fielding phone calls and things from people that we work with the association, just to deliver all these things that the members have access to. So yeah, it's a big job, but it's also a challenge, and for the most part of it, I enjoy it.
You always look like you enjoy it, Anna. And I wonder that our listeners might consider that, you know, now that we've moved to a combined association that, you know, is going to create more work for our volunteers on the executive, that we might consider as members that our volunteers are paid for their time, effort and expertise on the board, because you know, that is hours, valuable hours of your time and expertise, Anna. So maybe that's something for our next meeting that we can put forward a motion. You know, as other associations have paid roles, paid positions, as clinicians are having to take time out of their clinical work in order to do their advocacy and their other work as well.
I think the demands of the association have grown. Obviously, when the associations were formed, there was no such thing as Facebook and social media. So now we're actually accessible all of the time. What we are trying to do at the moment is to make more of a contingency plan, so that I don't want to be president forever, as much as I like it. we also need fresh people coming in with fresh ideas. So rather than being like when I became president, you just got chucked in the deep end and it took 2 years to figure it out, we're putting some processes in place so that the next person could just step in, and things are a whole lot more automated, and actually moving with technology and time rather than playing catch up all the time.
What's going on out there for hygienists?
And it's for all three scopes, actually, is surrounding the APC, the annual practicing fee, which is one of my goals to get over the line with the Dental Council, is how do we sort out this fee that we've been charged. And we've discussed it at great length with the Dental Council, and it is actually, our proposal is going to be submitted to the Ministry of Health in the next round of changes. But given that the change with Aotearoa Health, we might not get it over the line this time, but we'll keep going with it. We'll just keep resubmitting. So yeah, APC is always an issue, and I think that, you know, also comes back to empowering the practitioner to negotiate that being paid by the employer rather than on themselves. The application of Botox for our profession, to be able to do that. So we're doing some research into that to see if that is a viable option here in New Zealand. But yeah, it's quite a big body of work that the association will be working through.
What's like the top three things that you hope for in your role as a hygienist, you know, that are secure in with your employer and with your day-to-day works? I think you mentioned the appointments, having sufficient time with the appointments. Do you have a dental assistant?
No, I don't have an assistant. I don't have an assistant. I'm quite adept at working by myself. But there are definitely some things that I think an assistant could be beneficial. Like if you think about how much dental hygiene has evolved since I graduated, we were just scaling and doing prophy paste on teeth, and now I'm using an airflow, which is a lot more demanding physically on the body, I think, with the holding the heavy suction and indirect vision and trying to capture every tooth at different angles and things like that. So I think even just the way that we practice has changed a lot, and there a dental assistant would be great. There's a more importance now on making adequate notes, patient notes. So that all takes time. So, you know, if you had an assistant to clean up the room and turn the room over while you're doing all of those things that are required of you, I think that could also be helpful.
Very appropriate. Don't worry about that, because, you know, a dental assistant can bring so much relief to some of those everyday things that you need to get done, you know, there's essential activities.
I'm a dental hygienist, but sort of my hopes and aspirations for the career going forward is oral health therapists actually working to their full capacity in private and in public. You know, how good would it be if oral health therapists were actually in private practice doing DBs and doing, you know, more things rather than just sort of acting as the dental hygienist role, and they were actually used to their full potential. I think there's an area of this that's not captured and it's not used properly, and it could be the ticket to improving oral health in New Zealand if we maximise these scopes of practice. Yeah.
I fully agree with you, Anna, because OHTs, it took such a long time to even get them their name. I'm sure that there's still a few people who cringe when they get called dual scopers or know, that still think, what even does that mean? That, you know, OHTs, that they've got a name, a title, a status, a scope, and there's, as I talk and to others and listen, I hear that there's a varied application of this scope of practice across the nation, and that has to change. Ngā mihi, Anna, for coming to share with us on The Whole Tooth, Aotearoa NZ. You are an absolute superstar oral health professional in New Zealand, a respected leader, and we will definitely be having you back as a guest later in the year. Join us next week as we have Sam Carrington as our guest, lecturer of oral health in the Bachelor of Oral Health Otago, an oral health therapist, and also the Associate Dean for Māori for Dentistry. He has a passion for Hauora Māori, Oranganihu, and on a mission to implement change to reduce inequalities in oral health. So go well, my oral health professional colleagues, peers, and friends. From us at The Whole Tooth Aotearoa NZ, noho ora mai.